I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, a new podcast from Wondery.
From Adele to Victoria Beckham and Lily Allen, we take you inside the drama-filled lives of our most talked-about celebrities to find out what it's like to walk in their shoes.
She means their beautiful Prada shoes.
Listen to Terribly Famous wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the birthday boy from 2 days ago, Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Well, hello. How are you?
I am wonderful. How was your birthday in Palm Springs?
It was so fun. I actually went out into the sun. I mean, I was covered in a whole hat and everything, like a big lady sun hat, because, you know, my skin doesn't have any layers, like tissue paper after chemical peels and stuff. But I went out. I had so much fun. I'm in lovely Palm Springs today. So if I sound different, it's because I'm feeling just richer and most...
Wow.
I was going to turn the camera and show you the house, but then my whole setup almost fell on the ground. So you'll just have to imagine it. It's Kyle Richards' house.
Okay. Yeah. Kim is holding the camera up.
Hey, what should I look at? What should I focus on?
Well, while you fix that, everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens. We are on video. We're always on video. You can check it out. Go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens and you support on the Crappens on Demand level. You can watch our video. It's there exclusively. And then eventually goes over to YouTube. But it's at Patreon first for a spell. So there's that. We also have our weekly bonus episode. Oh, last week we were going to do Southern Charm as our bonus. And because of our scheduling, we wound up actually putting Crappy Lake, the finale, as our bonus. So we're going to be doing the Southern Charm trailer this week in some capacity. And then next week, we have Crappy Hour. That's going to be Monday at 5:30 p.m. on the West Coast. It'll be 8:30 on the East Coast. It's our IG live show. We are still experimenting with how it looks and sounds, etc., trying to get our audio improved, yada, yada, yada. So if it looks like a little different or if it sounds a little different, that's why. But we are excited for that. That's when you come on. Join us on Instagram and, ask us questions. And we're going to, talk. And we'll talk about Bravo gossip, whatever's going on in Bravo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we've done it twice so far. We've had such a great, fun time. It's basically the new iteration of Take a Seat. So come join us at Watch What Crappens on Instagram. And follow Ronnie. Ronnie's at Ronnie Karam. I'm at Ben Mandelker. And that's basically all the new and exciting stuff. Of course, I have to give a big shout out to some of the Crappens listeners who gathered yesterday at My Crab House, formerly known as Oh My Crab. I had mentioned on the podcast a few weeks ago that I'd gone to this local restaurant called Oh My Crab that I really enjoyed, and I felt like it was going to go out of business. And I told everyone, you guys have to go to Oh My Crab. And so then some of the listeners were like, let's go to Oh My Crab. Let's do a thing. So I went and I joined them, various people, including one of the Edible Matthews sisters, incredible Edible Matthews sisters, Erin Matthews. So anyway, shout out to all those wonderful ladies who showed up yesterday at My Crab House. We had such a fun time.
That is fun. I love it. Let's put on a show and save the Crab House.
Yeah. I think all eight of us really turned around the fortunes for that restaurant.
Yeah, the restaurant is now just going to be Crab House forever.
I know. There were a good number of people in there that day, yesterday. So, maybe it's already being saved.
There you go,
Yeah.
You just got to put something out into the universe and then it happens.
It's still always great. It's always great to see, people from the Crappens community. So it was a super, super fun time. We talked a lot about Bravo. Well, of course we talked a lot about Bravo. What else is there to talk about? We talked about the Crappies. We reminisced on stories.
I'm going to get a bunch of Crappens people together to talk about economic policy.
Yeah. We were definitely talking about Scandoval, all that good stuff. And I made a cake. I made a cake that I don't know what possessed me, but it had Actually, when I counted it back, it had 7 cups of sugar in it, and it had 5 bars of butter in it.
Babe, you can't do that when you're making cake. It like destroys the you're like stealing all the joy from the cake.
Okay. It was pretty amazing.
Like, you can't start judging the cake after you eat the cake.
It was pretty amazing. It was pretty amazing. So it was a fun time had by all. But you know what? For right now, we have to talk about Real Housewives of New York, okay?
Let's
with
do
old
it,
Ramona
okay?
voice.
What? That? So previously on New York, let me just give a spoiler for those of you who aren't watching. Previously on New York, Erin is a 70-year-old Karen in a 35-year-old body. And this week on Real Housewives of New York, Erin is also a 76 woman, old Karen in a 35-year-old woman's body. Who hangs out with this person? Although we did learn something big about Erin today. She is constantly fed, pushed, triggered, and groomed to be an asshole by her bitch-ass husband, Abe. What a bitch. Can I just start by saying, Abe, you are the worst of all husbands because you inspire your wife to be this kind of person. And then you sit in the background with a smile on your face like, that's her. She sure is pissed. And I'm going to support her no matter what, even when you're sitting there triggering it half the time, Abe. You know, I knew there was something funky about you, Abe. And it's that you're a fucking bitch and a snitch. Snitch-ass wow. bitch, Abe. Hey, Abe, you know what happens to snitches? They marry bitches, I guess. I don't know. What is the term? Bitches
they
get stitches.
They
get stitches. Am I threatening you? No. I'm just telling you how sayings work. Snitch.
Meanwhile, somewhere in New York, Erin is saying, snitches get bitches? Cackling hags? Cackling 76-year-old Karen?
I can't, you know, these people always marry each other. These people who are just so overdramatic about everything and just need to be pissed off about everything. But Abe was doing a really good job acting like, well, here I am, just lovely, supportive Abe. And, you know, she's the one who's like kind of a bitchy Karen, but I'm just here to support her because I love her. And then we find out. It's like my 600 pound life where you find out what a feeder is, you know? Abe is the feeder. You're the feeder of negative bad news against everybody else, Abe, okay? You have just as much of a problem as Erin, and you both need severe therapy.
If you bring a cake with 7 cups of sugar and 5 bars of butter to a party, does that make you a feeder? Just asking
yes.
for a friend.
You're a feeder too. So that's why you're being so quiet on this subject and trying to change it.
No, I was trying to think if there's like a devil's advocate, if maybe he's just like trolling Erin. Like he just says this stuff just to wind her up because it's fun for him because he's got
well, you
no
know,
other.
The big giveaway was that he didn't know he was being recorded. So when he's on the screen, he's just doing the regular snitching in the scene where we see his face. But then when she calls him after she leaves the party later, you see that he doesn't know what he's on camera, and you hear how he really talks. And that was the real pivotal part of the episode where we really got to see inside Abe.
What,
and like I was happy because we haven't seen the asshole side of a husband
yet
at
the
on
end.
This
wait,
show.
The end of the episode?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that was Kelly, not Abe.
No, she calls Abe.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Was it Kelly this whole time and I hate Abe's guts?
You know what? I'm going to go back to the footage right now because I feel like this is such a... We're making some hot takes right here because I wrote down that it was Kelly. But the thing is, I was like, God, Kelly's voice sounds weird. So one of us had a perception issue. I'm going to look.
I have Abe. It's a man. He's saying, I told you she's fucking rude.
Okay, you know what?
That's
I'm going to
like,
go. I'm
that's
looking
like
right now.
5 hours away, by the way, everybody, in this recap. In like recap time.
It's very long ways away. Okay, I'm going to look up Real Housewives of New York City. Okay, I'm on YouTube TV on another tab right now. And then, scroll through Jessel being Jessel, 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 Jessel. Okay, Erin. Midseason. I went too far. Midseason trailer. I'm going to get to the bottom of this because I think, okay, here she is. She's now. She's walking. They're all talking about her.
Yeah,
I'm just putting it on. I'm just putting it on mute because I don't think I need to hear all this in my ear at the same time. I'm monitoring this. Okay, Kelly, Erin's sister, on the phone.
I need
his caption.
No, I have to hear it. It has to be Abe. Okay. So that's Kelly?
That's Kelly.
Okay, Abe. Okay, Abe, I apologize before we even get there, but I don't apologize for calling you a stitch and a bitch, because you are a stitch and a bitch. Now, I'm not as furious with you, because what you were saying, like calling her a bitch and stuff at the end, was not you. That was Kelly. So it's different. Okay, I don't hate Abe, but I really don't like him. He's still a snitch and a bitch. There, I said it.
I was so confused because I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't think Abe is great, but I was like, wow, Rania's really on one about Abe right now this morning. And I was like, I want to support it because I love when he's on one about someone, but I didn't really understand. And then when you said, oh, and then what he was saying at the end of the episode, I was like, oh, I think that there's been a misunderstanding.
I was furious because he was calling them bitches and stuff like that. And I was like, whoa, I don't think the husbands get to come on and call the ladies bitches. And I was pissed off at Abe. I thought, fuck Abe, you know? So, okay, I take it back, Abe. I mean, I don't take it back. You're still a stitch bitch. But, you know, the last scene I take back. You didn't call all the women bitches. So that's good. You're still a little nicer in my...
A yeah. moment of redemption, of light redemption for Abe. But now, but
oh my God, thank you for saving me too, because then that's all I need is these New York lovers coming after me. Like, how dare you disparage Abe? He has Peter Gallagher eyebrows.
He's an icon of husbands. He's one of the top five housewives husbands of all time. Abe, we stand Abe.
Icon eyebrows.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. If you thought that's what Abe was saying at the end of the episode, it makes a lot more sense why you'd be like, what the fuck with this guy?
Yeah, I was like, wow, that guy, we see how he really feels he can talk to women now. I didn't like that.
We're like, oh, it's just okay. Kelly. So
it's just the thirsty ass sister trying to force her way into a friend of role. Not going to get it, Kelly. Kelly, you tried real hard. Can't remember what you look like. Okay, as far Polical. As I'm concerned, you're like a Coke bottle cap with a wig. Like, I have no idea what you look like.
Yeah, yeah. So this episode starts...
By the way, shouldn't being on vacation in lovely Palm Springs in a home with a pool and bright colors and air conditioning, shouldn't that put someone in a better mood? I mean, just listen to me go. You would think my life is ending, and I'm just out here really? Ripping throats out 10 minutes into a podcast.
You really dove right into this with, you were like, you know what? I'm in Palm Springs. You're on vacation from holding back. You're like, you know what? I'm on vacation. I'm going to say it all right now. Fuck Abe. Fuck his sister-like voice at the end of the episode.
You know what else it is? I think it's coming to Palm Springs as a gay who's almost 50. I mean, I turned 48 this birthday. And so coming here, almost 50... This is where we come to die. I mean, this is where the gays come to die. We come to do coke here in our 20s and think it's cute. But we all know this is where we come to retire.
Yeah.
And I think just coming here did something to me where I was like, oh, my God, I'm dying. You know, I was like, I passed a memory care place and I was like, I'm going to live there one day. You know, I started looking at it in a different way. Yeah. And I think part of my feelings are hurt. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to die here alone in the heat.
You're projecting.
I'm gonna die sitting by a pool because I'm never gonna find anybody, and I'm just gonna be a bag of bones out by a pool. They're gonna find me with like 10 degree burns on my face.
Well, you know what, my therapist will often say that anger is, you know, it's usually something that we feel to mask things like fear, and so you're expressing your fear and you're masking it with anger towards Abe.
There you go. So, okay, well, my life is over. Okay, so let's get started with this this episode. This is season 14, episode 7, which for those of you who aren't bi in the lingual, that means 7. Okay. Yeah.
Episode 7. So we're at a photo shoot for Love Scene, which I feel like that's a brand for Jessel, Love Scene, because I feel like that she's someone who loves being seen. And Jenna is walking around with an assistant who I have to also imagine is her goddaughter. And she's like giving a rundown of like, we need to do this for the photo shoot and that for the photo shoot. And if I'm ever busy, just say right on top of it, Rose, yada, yada, yada. Eyelashes over there, curtains over there, goddaughter over there, you know, all the usual photo shoot stuff.
The assistant is doing that assistant thing where they explain things like, in a really fancy way, so they sound like they're doing important stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they sound like their stuff is way more important than it is. Like, she goes, okay, we're going to have photographers set up here. We're going to have models set up here. And then Heather, the photographer, is going to be shooting them in real time. I was like, oh, wow, you're not going to put her in the fucking time machine so she could shoot it from 20 years ago? How the fuck else are you going to shoot it?
It's all real time. So then and then we cut to Uba coughing in her apartment because Uba is theoretically still on this show. So she's coughing and dropping food on the floor. That's her one. That's almost her only moment on the entire show. And like some grainy FaceTime at the like while the credits roll.
She's like 5 second rule. God, that was hilarious.
What a wild and interesting group of women. We are eating food off of the floor.
This is the most hilarious scene of The Housewives where I do something in a toaster with COVID.
I'm a model who eats food off the floor. I mean, are you getting this on camera right now?
And then Bryn, who I just want to scream icon when she comes on because I see people on Twitter doing it. You know how that works where you see people like, oh my God, icon. It's like it used to be with Erika Jayne. I feel like when Erika Jayne first came on Housewives, people were like, oh my God, icon. And I was like, okay. I mean, she ate a piece of cake. Like she ate a bite of cake in that one episode.
Yeah.
But I just could never like her even though I tried. And that's kind of what's happening with Bryn. And like, I guess we've been shown her trauma and stuff. And so you're supposed to like people if they have trauma. I guess that's like the rule. Like if you know someone's trauma, you have to like them. Still don't like her. And here's why. She starts out scenes like this. She takes one of the hackiest housewife scene openings, which is the moaning like you're having sex, and she's just working out in a training gym, but she's just like lifting a kettlebell. It's not that I'm prude. I mean, I love sex. I just don't love that kind.
Well, I just think it's just the whole like sounds like someone's having sex, but they're at the gym. Is played out, and this one they don't even try. Normally what they do is the producers show the exterior of a building and then they show empty rooms and you hear them moaning and then you see them working out. Here they just cut right to a gym, and so you just know it's a gym and there's people walking around and you just hear her moaning. You're like, oh, there's someone pretending to have an orgasm at a gym right now, and lo and behold, it's Bryn. Yeah,
it's
I'm just Bryn with you.
Main
not...
it's Bryn main charactering it in the gym, you know.
I'm like, I see glimmers in Bryn. You know, I thought it was, you know, last week she was funny at the party. She wore sunglasses at the party too, which is kind of like this like minor icon, you know, but yeah, there's like a try hard element with her that is difficult to get by. But at least she is trying hard as opposed to others.
I feel like she's one of those people who's like walking in a Target and then all of a sudden, a lady turns around with an iPhone camera and starts blasting some music, and then she starts doing a choreographed dance with some ladies in the middle of the Target. And you're like, I'm just trying to check out.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, but that's what people are doing on TikTok now.
Flash mobs.
Like, can I get to the trash bags? Get the fuck out of the aisle. Have you seen these people doing this on the TikTok?
I have not seen.
It's a thing.
I have not seen. I've not seen the Target flash mobs. That would drive me nuts.
They're called main characters, and they go to public places and they just start doing dances right in the middle, and then the managers kick them out and they're like, how dare you, this is oppression.
I can't. Luckily my TikTok has been like taken over by close-ups of melty food, so I don't get to see any of these awful main characters in Target. I just
melting
see cheese.
Food.
Yeah, it's all because that's all food talk is. Food talk is, let me tell you about this amazing thing I make when I get home from work. It's the simplest thing you could possibly imagine. Take one can of garbanzo beans, one bunch of chives. Now find some cheddar cheese, put it under a broiler. Now put it in the food processor, add some lettuce, then add some olive oil, put it in the deep fryer. Now you have a deep fried olive oil garbanzo cheese thing. Now put it in the toaster oven, add a fish head. Now put that in the oven, roast that for 25 minutes. Couldn't be simpler. Put that in the blender. Now put it in the pressure cooker. Add some more chives, add some more garbanzo beans, and now you have an absolutely delicious meal.
Bryn just starts dancing right in front of the TikTok ladies video. She's like, wait a minute, you can't bring a TikTok interruption into a TikTok video, darling.
You can't do a flash mob in the middle of my cheesy garbanzo dip that I put in 5 different machines.
You can't main character these garbanzos, darling.
Yeah, that's what food talk is. It's just con artistry. People saying something as simple so that way they lure you in and then they go through like 12 million steps. Angry. I'm angry at that now. Now you activated me, Ronnie.
Oh, okay. Well, here, I'll give you something iconic to make you feel better.
Icon! Oh, God. Icon. Icon whose job is still a mystery. Still don't know what Brynn does.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Since his death in 2009, the world has struggled with how Michael Jackson should be remembered. As the king of pop or as a monster? I'm Leon Nafok, the host of Fiasco and the co-creator of Slow Burn.
And I'm Jay Smooth, a hip-hop journalist and cultural commentator. Michael Jackson was accused of child molestation for the first time in 1993. Our new podcast, Think Twice, Michael Jackson, is the story of what came before and what came after.
Throughout the podcast, we explore what makes Michael Jackson seemingly uncancelable. And we dig into the complicated feelings so many of us have when we hear Billie Jean at the grocery store.
Through dozens of original interviews with people who watched the story unfold firsthand, Think Twice is an attempt to reconcile our conflicted emotions about Michael Jackson, the man, with our deep-seated love of his art.
Listen to Think Twice, Michael Jackson, wherever you get your podcasts, or you can binge the entire series ad-free on Audible or the Amazon Music app.
So let's go over to Melody, Jenna's friend and an investor. They're taking
a selfie. Possible goddaughter.
Possible goddaughter. And Jenna is talking to one of the model ladies. And she's like, hi, do you know what we're doing today? I'm talking to you, but it's very difficult for me because I'm a super awkward person. So hope you're going to be able to talk to me, even though it might feel awkward. I'm here for you. Or am I here for me? Is anyone here for me? I really don't know. I'm spinning out of control.
Okay, so we want to put a lash on you. And if you're feeling nervous, I'll come over and laugh and it'll be fine. And if you're still feeling nervous, I will give you an offer to be my goddaughter. And that usually smooths things over. So just let me know what you want.
And the lady's like, oh my gosh, I love classical lashes. I've been following you, so I kind of know. And Jenna's like, oh, I love that. She's like, yeah. Why do you always look in the window of a yogurt planet, but you never go inside? I mean, every single day you do that on your way home from work. It's hot.
You know what's funny? I went to Yogurt Land this weekend for the first time in several years.
Well, I'm sorry. So was there no yogurt planet available?
Okay. No, this is more regional. It's just the land. But
how was it?
It was fine. They had ice cream there, which felt a little off brand. They didn't have you know what? They did not have the range of flavors that I was looking for. I really was, you know, I had like my chocolate and I was hoping to mix it with some like peanut butter or some cookies and cream. And they had neither peanut butter nor cookies and cream as a flavor. And I thought that was a fail.
That is a fail. Well, right? I mean, I wouldn't order them, coffee. But I would support you being able to order them. I'd be like, yeah. Hey. Ben needs this.
Hey, this is Carol Radziwill, and I'm here to advocate for returning peanut butter and cookies and cream to Yogurt Land. Join me on GoFundMe as we make this a reality.
We're going to do a mixture of yogurts called Oreo and peanut butter, and we're going to call it Marathon.
Hi, I'm Carol Radziwill, and I've opened up something called Yogurt Baby. When you come in, you can choose from 7 different flavors, and they're all called Baby.
Okay, so Jenna's like, okay, well, listen, if you're nervous, I'll come over there. I'll make you laugh. Everything's going to be fine. You're in a safe space. Are lash installations the trauma of the trauma du jour? Have people like lost all of their self-confidence getting lashes stuck on their face? Like, if you can't getting lashes stuck to your face, you're not strong enough to have fucking lashes, okay? Like, if this is going to trigger you, get the fuck out of the lash store. I'm fucking over it, okay?
Yeah, I felt like Jenna was trying to have like a new approach to the process of, of auditions and modeling. And I appreciated that she was being thoughtful of her model, not treating her model as a piece of meat. But at the same time, it was like, you're just putting a lash on. like the person came in for a lash, for like a literal lashing. And so they know, I think they should be okay with having an eyelash being put on their
I know,
eyes.
They're acting like they're going to do like major breast augmentation surgery in front of everybody. They're like, are you okay? Do you need anything? You're going to stick some fucking lashes. And by the way, they are just pieces of meat. And that is how you should treat them. They're basically hams that you're gluing eyelashes onto. Okay? I don't need to see triggered feelings of people getting lashes glued onto them.
But then it turns out to be a big switcheroo, because then when the model's like, oh, yeah, it's fine, you can put the lash on, then Matt Lauer comes out holding the lashes, and it's like, ugh, that is awkward.
Matt Lauer. Matt Lauer locks himself into a room with the lashes. They're like, Matt? Matt? He's like, only I can unlock it with a button under my desk. That's so dark. Okay, dark, so there's another lady. There's like a lady of more years, I guess I should say, with more years on her Yogurt Planet card. And Jenna's talking to her now, and she's like, so how did you hear about us? And she goes, you, because I follow you on TikTok. Actually, I follow another lady who follows you standing in front of a Yogurt Planet, which is really awkward, but also super entertaining.
I loved this moment because Jenna's like, oh my God, you're on TikTok? And she goes, yeah, I'm on TikTok. And I use that to talk about my dating and how ugly it was. And Jenna's like, oh my God, you're not dating now. Are you dating now? And everyone's like, yeah. So I actually just finally started a relationship, and she's like about to like share like a story. And Cy just walks in and interrupts like, hi, I'm here. What do you guys want to talk about?
Like, she does. Okay. She walks right in the middle of a serious story and doesn't even care. She's so rude. She's like, hey. So Jenna's like, well, I invited Cy in because, well, you know, I'm an older white woman. And when it comes to casting, it's critical for people to see someone that looks like them, seeing them, because, you know, they can see maybe better than old white women, because frankly, I can't really see. So I'm not really sure what anybody, I'm not sure if there's even men here. Are there children here? I don't really know. Bifocals. Don't like talking about it. I'm awkward. So
Jenna's like, hi, Cy. This is my future goddaughter. I don't know her name, but she's on TikTok, which is cool. And then Jenna's like, of course, Jenna makes a comment about how she's not going to feed people, because, you know, feeding people is like the thing this season. And, Then Jenna's like, oh, that's right, you're about to share a story about your life that seems sort of important. And this woman goes, yes, oh, so this is the story. This is the story of my dating. So I met this guy, and the crazy thing is, we were walking in front of a bleep. I was like, what is going on with the places being bleeped out on Roni this season?
I don't know. Are you not allowed to say locations in New York City? I don't think that's ever been a thing. Is that like a new law? What the hell?
Like, it made sense when they were disparaging a restaurant for being like, so 2012, and it's like they could get in trouble with the restaurant. But if someone's talking about that they just met someone on the sidewalk out front of a place, we have to still bleep out that place? Was it like the neo-Nazi forum of 2022? Why can't we say these things?
I know. Well, what is being said on these shows? That I know. Like,
what is bleepable? I mean, I'm like, that's the only thing I could imagine Bravo would be like, let's not like mention the neo-Nazi forum of 2022 on our show, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure, but they all laughed. It was very funny, whatever she said. So then Jenna is now talking to this other nerdy lady, and she's kind of, well, I shouldn't say nerdy. I should say awkwardly glasses-ed. Like, she has glasses and like, I don't know. I think this is a Craigslist casting, right? Because these people were more like people when you go into a sales thing where they're like, hey, you look on Craigslist and they're like, make $100,000 a week. And you go in there, it's all the dummies from the street like me who go in and they're like, and here's how you make money getting all of your family to buy air filters. It's like those kinds of people. Mm-hmm. So this next one is named Mary. And so Jenna's like, so have you ever modeled? Are you nervous? I'm nervous, but I'll hold your hand. Do you want me to hold your hand? I'm going to hold it. Do you have a nickname? What's your nickname? Did you have a nickname growing up? And she's like, first of all, her name is Mary. So I would just Mare. Can we just go with Mare? Like, why do we need to make difficult nicknames for Marys? And she's like, yeah, my brother, he couldn't say my name. And he called me Barney. Jenna's like, wow, and what's he doing now? So it's a job that doesn't require diction at all, I'm assuming. Is his job carrying marbles around in his mouth from place to place?
I don't understand how it's easier to say Marnie than it is to say Mary, personally. I think that brother was gaslighting her. I think you could say Mary all that time. If you can say Marnie, you can say Mary. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I know, because Mary, like, I don't want to see lashes on Mary, but I want to see her brother get put in a meat grinder. Is that weird?
I mean, by the way, the most little brother thing you could do is, like, make your sister mad by calling her Marnie instead of Mary. I mean, that seems like a great little brother play right there, right?
It also works with waiters who are being rude to you. So then Mary's like, well, that stuck with me. So Jenna says, well, listen, Jenna's not my real name, you know. Let me tell you a really weird story, okay? Are you with me? We're going to go on this story journey together. It's going to make you laugh so hard. My name growing up was Judith, and I never felt like a Judith because the only Judith I knew of was, you know, Judith Light from Who's the Boss, and I already knew who the boss was. It was me. And my brother used to tease me, and so the first day of college, our teacher said, if you have a nickname, tell me now. So I had to pick something, and my brother used to call me Jenna-Jenna-Genitalia. Jenna-Jenna-Genitalia. So I just went with that.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you're trying to impress me with your story about how your brother would call you Marnie instead of Mary, try genitalia. Okay, thanks. Thanks for coming.
And Marnie. Sai's like, no, now I'm gonna have to call you genitalia from now on.
So then Sai's like, watching Jenna bring out this vulnerability in herself to calm someone else's nerves was the sweetest and most admirable thing. But at the same time, you are telling your secrets to complete strangers, but you cannot tell them to your friends. Everyone needs to know. Like, this is a tenuous point at best, Sai. Also, this is, like, not really vulnerability. I don't think telling a yarn about how you used to be called Judith, but then you changed your name to Jenna because your brother called you genitalia. I just don't really see that as, like, getting too many layers in, especially when it's at a casting and it's just to make someone feel better about the fact that they were born Mary but are now recognized as Marnie. You know, it's just not that deep.
Yeah, Sai's doing that thing where she builds somebody up to be one way so that she can then say, like, she fixed everything later. Like, oh my God, she won't share her feelings and she's so awkward, so that anything that Jenna now says in front of Sai, she's like, I broke her and now we're best friends, you know?
But Sai, like, also makes it about herself.
She's not really even that awkward. She doesn't want to tell you about who she's dating because she doesn't fucking know, you weirdo. And everything you do is take what everybody says and use it against them and then accuse them of being, you know, the opposite of a feeder, whatever that is, a starver. I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I would have called my mother that when I grew up, if there was a term.
Withholder. Food withholder.
Withholder. Okay.
Yeah. So then Jenna starts showing Sai around the photo shoot and she's talking about how Jenna reminds us about her genetic disorder and how she has no eyelashes. And Sai starts asking her, like, how she's doing with the breakup, because she just broke up with her non-Emily Hampshire from Schitt's Creek girlfriend. And Jenna starts getting choked up and she's like, yeah, breakups are difficult. It's hard, but I'm okay being alone. I'm distracting myself. I exercise. I read. I eat a lot of ice cream. I do a lot of things I do when I'm not in a relationship. So I've just been collecting a lot of goddaughters, basically. That's what I do when I'm single.
You know, I read, I sit in my closet, and I put on the dress I wore when I met Michelle Obama, and I just try to FaceTime random numbers and just hope that Beyonce picks up on one of them and ask her, hi, you remember me? We met. I was wearing the same dress. Do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember? Hey, Beyonce. If you were ever going to actually walk into a yogurt planet, which one would it be?
What flavor would you get? Are you okay being my goddaughter? May I put this lash on you, Beyonce? So Jenna's saying how, you know, Jenna's getting choked up. And so I was like, oh, don't make me cry. You know, I don't like that. And Jenna's like, no, I don't want to cry. I don't want to cry. And she's like, instead of crying, let's talk about something like really awful. Let's talk about Aaron's birthday party. Wow. Like, so Sai, you left the party early. You know, she's like, I think Aaron's going to be pissed at you, because she tends to get pissed at, honestly, any minor infraction that happens towards her.
And Sai's like, what do you mean, the Irish goodbye? Which we know from this show, because that is a very famous goodbye on this show. I never knew the Irish goodbye until this show, until Luann used it. Oh. Jen's like, yeah, well, I think that Aaron is mad that you left. here. So because that was her party. And she's like, honestly, I don't give a fuck. And Jenna laughs. And Jenna says, I wish I had that, you know. And so I was like, whatever. I'm fucking hungry. You got to feed people if they're going to leave. And Jen's like, well, she was mad you left. She said it. She goes, well, I'll deal with it. So then we go over to the scene where Abe comes out as a huge snitch. Aaron and Abe at home. So she's like, I need something. A glass of wine or something. And he's like, yeah, I'm so tired. She goes, so tired. Because it was like such a good party, Abe. Like everyone's been blowing up my phone and saying that the food was so good. Yeah, like I've gotten like so many messages about how great the food was, specifically the food, Abe. Okay.
Yeah, she's really trying to emphasize that. And it was such a fun party, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I have reservations about my girlfriends because I just feel like the way that they behaved, I don't know. It rubbed me all the wrong way. And it was like, okay, how did they behave? She's like,
Kelly told me they were talking during our vows. Oh, Jesus, get rid of your mom too then, okay? And Kelly, because she was talking. She was trying to start a confrontation during your wedding.
Yeah, Kelly.
And make more of an effort for your vows and don't make people sit through an hour of your parade of basics, making basic speeches about squash team and the polo cup and golfing tours, okay?
Also, the women were not talking during the vows. They were talking during the speeches from the guy from, like, University of Wisconsin, talking about the time that they jerked off in a canoe after they got drunk at some fraternity. So, like, I think it's, like, let's chill out a little bit here.
Let's chillax, ma'am. So then Abe is like, oh, my God, that talking was them? It was a whole fucking crowd. Don't get married in Grand Central Station and then get mad that you hear the dings of incoming subways, you dicks.
Yeah. So Aaron's like, first of all, Cy didn't even say bye. That's so beyond rude. And Abe was like, the fact that they're talking during the vows, it's disrespectful, honestly. These two people have such an elevated sense of importance with this long-ass annoying party. Cy showed up from Brooklyn. That's good enough. She got out of there. She had to get out of there. Because you went up. By the way, she didn't say goodbye because you went up to a different space to change your look. So yeah. I don't think that if someone has to leave, I don't think they're obligated to stay around for 35 minutes while you change your dress.
You know what you need to start learning to say? Thank you. Thank you for coming to my fucking party and thank sitting you there through 2 hours of my basic white people speeches. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what you should have said. But my note for this was, oh, he's a bitch yes husband. I hate those kinds of husband. I hate them. Everything their asshole wife says, they have to be the one to like march around and making it right. By the way, my dad is one. Sorry. I didn't mean to call my dad a bitch on this show, but he is one of those. My whole dad's job is like walking around apologizing for my mother in restaurants, you know? It's just how it is. And they are the worst to be around, but I also want one. Is that weird? Like, now that I've said all of that,
no,
if anybody is this kind of husband and you need someone bitchy to get married to, please DM me because I will send you to the manager all day long.
Yeah. You see, the thing is, you don't want to be that sort of person, but you want that sort of person. And that's
exactly
the difference. So Aaron, she's like, frankly, they should have known better they should shut their mouths. Like if someone comes up to you and says, you're being rude and loud, just be like, OMG, I'm so sorry. It's like party etiquette.
This woman had a vow renewal because she misses the power she had over her entire family and friend group when she was a bride. You know, these people who are like, they get so power hungry during their wedding and bossing everybody around and being able to get offended over every little thing. Like, oh, really? You think you're going to come to my party in Vegas, but you're not going to come to my shower in Oklahoma? Are we even friends? And meanwhile, they're making you buy ugly dresses, you know, spending thousands of dollars to travel all over the place. And then there's something that happens when that's over and everyone's like, fuck that lady making me spend all this money. I can't wait till it's my turn to have this kind of power. And then just like sitting in your life without that kind of power, I think it starts slowly making people crazy. They need that power back. And so 10 years later, she's like, we're doing it again.
This is why 27 Dresses was a failure of a movie, because that movie should have been about Katherine Heigl going to all these different, being a bridesmaid for 27 of her friends, which is outrageous that she even put up with all that. She does that, and then she decides that she's going to exact huge bridesmaid revenge on all 27 of those friends and make them jump through so many hoops and go through so many parties and travel all around the world. And then at the end, the big twist is she's not getting married to anyone and she's going to laugh in their faces. But instead, it was just Katherine Heigl just getting stuck going to weddings all the time, and then she meets like a guy. Stupid.
Oh, I love the plot you came up with. I think right? That's a really good one.
My plot was great. Yeah. Just like someone who just is so sick of their power-hungry wedding friends and just exacts a huge amount of revenge. And in the end, it's all for nothing. You know, I love it. Great movie.
I love it too. Well, I hope somebody doesn't steal that because, you know, people will. And then they'll go, you know.
You all hear it here first, fortunately, okay?
Because they're on strike.
So yeah, I'm about to say, I can put out all the ideas.
Hear this later and then write it.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. If I see anyone, and I'm pointing my finger, if I see anyone make this movie, you're in trouble, okay? You're in big trouble because that's going to be my movie. It'll be our movie. Ryan and I are going to write it together.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Okay, so then what's my next note? Okay, so Abe's like, and you know how the vows were delayed? I mean, Jessel was like, it's so cute you renewed your vows. And I was like, yeah, well, we didn't do vows before. And then Bryn was like, well, technically, you could get out of your marriage. Dun, dun, dun. And I just wrote, oh, my God, this guy is such a snitch bitch. I instantly hate him.
And then, of course, this leads to Aaron doing a classic Aaron. You can get out of the marriage. It's her favorite thing. It's just repeating something back. You can get out of the marriage. Did you laugh?
And he's like, yeah, I laughed.
Well, then why did you repeat? If he just laughed, because he goes, yeah, I laughed, but I thought it was weird given the situation. It was just weird. I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to give you some content for your TV show that you're on right now. You're going to take it. You're going to get mad at her because otherwise, what's the point of all this?
I know your hobby is to get furious with people and for me to back you up and tell you you're right to be furious about petty little things. So I'm just giving you something to do the day after our wedding. Better than fucking. So he's like, yeah, I just thought it was weird, right? Given the setting. I mean, that's weird telling someone they can get out of their vows. So you think right before you renew your vows, someone tells you you have a get out of jail free card and that's the wrong time to make the joke? It's literally the perfect time to make the joke.
Yeah.
Okay. You absolute fucking wuss.
Yeah. It's like a literal obvious joke. So Aaron's like, first of all, fuck off. Our kids are right there. What if they had heard? I'm just saying that's unacceptable to me. I'm sorry. It's really not. What, a kid? Oh, a kid who shouldn't even be at, honestly, shouldn't be at this party in the first place, but a kid's going to be there. I honestly don't, you know, you should not have your small children running around your party that's being filmed for The Real Housewives, where it's like very likely that any sort of drama is going to go off and you could probably traumatize your young child. I mean, look at all a generation of children on Real Housewives of New Jersey. Look what's happening to all them. They're going off to, they're growing up and they're all going to be fucked up. Okay. So you want to do that to your children and then you're mad. You're mad that your kids were on a reality TV shoot for Bravo and they might have overheard something that might have, you know, confused them. And something that's also very easily rectifiable with those children. This was Erin really grasping for straws to be mad.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, our kids were right there. Like, what if they had heard that, Abe? You know what? I'm just saying that's unacceptable to me. I'm sorry. It's just not. And then we hear the peacock that was lost in my neighborhood for all those weeks. This is the sound it made. So that's the sound. And Aaron's like, is that a child? And he goes, that is a child. She goes, ugh, oh my God, I guess I'll go get him. And he goes, just ignore him. She goes, I'm not going to ignore him on camera, Abe.
After I was just talking about how important it is to protect our children from, you know, passing jokes at a party. So Aaron goes and gets the child. And then Aaron's like, you know, it really pisses me off. She came in. She started shit. She said rude things to my husband. She wore her sunglasses the whole time. And then she walked out. Sometimes she just doesn't have tact. And it really pisses me off. Well, I'm sorry, not everyone can learn their tact from sitting in the corner with a coloring book next to Gwyneth Paltrow and Brad Pitt in the mid-90s.
And she's like, I don't know why you're laughing, Abe. I'm disgusted. And she's holding her son, who has a full puffer jacket on, by the way.
Was the kid dropped off with HelloFresh outside?
Why does every man in her life have to be wearing a coat at all times? Because remember last time when they were in the restaurant, Abe wouldn't let the lady take his coat either. And also, we didn't notice, because the show's so fucking odd, but did you notice in that restaurant that the guy behind them, as they shot their scene, was on a date with a stuffed penguin?
No, I did not notice.
We just see it on screen and it's totally normal to us.
I think the running theme with Erin is that she likes cold places. She Erin sort of has a cold energy, but she literally had no heat on in the Hamptons, and now everyone around her always has to be in a jacket because they're so cold.
Yeah. Let's see. So then she's like, I don't know why you're laughing. I'm disgusted. I can't believe I have to be in the same room with her. I'm just disgusted with her after everything she said. I just can't. And I'm like, oh, well, so that's okay to talk about in front of your kid.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to continue this conversation about how someone tried to bang your husband in front. You're ridiculous. Get a hobby.
Yeah, I agree. So now, luckily, we now move on to a more loving couple, which is Pavitt and Jessel walking down the street. And Pavitt's like, this is a really cool area. And she goes, this area? What an idiot. Take him one step out of the house. He thinks it's cool. That's what you get when you start walking around the city streets with the president of the Fried Chicken Club of America.
He's like, it feels so good to be out of that house. But it's been such a crazy week. I'm going to do an espresso martini because it goes with my dress. Now, it's so stressful waking up at 6 in the morning. I thought my mom would be more help. Could you imagine? All she really does is walk around in oatmeal-colored clothes doing absolutely nothing. I say, Mother, you might as well be in a diner being served in little bowls for the pools. Like, do a little something more to help out around the house. I mean, what a loser. Am I right, Pavitt?
I heard that Tom Cruise's mother is very, very helpful around the house, and this is something I can't wait to find out in person when we rub shoulders with him at the Montessori school.
So then we see a clip of her telling her mom, Mom, when you see fingerprints on a table, could you please wipe them off? And her mom being like, every time we see something, we clean it, Jessel. I raised this. It's like when you plant a potato. Have you, in school when they were like, put a potato in a jar with water, and then you watch the vines come out of it, and then over the weeks it just becomes the most hideous looking thing you've ever seen. Yeah. And you're like, I created that. And I feel no pride, but I also don't want to throw it away just in case I might need it for something later.
I actually never did the potato experiment, but I did once make a terrarium, and that was gross too. It was like, hey, who wants to make a home for mold? So it was literally like, it was like a mold zoo. It's like, you just watch it every day. Like, look at that. There's mold growing. So, Pavitt's like, well, think about when your mom does actually leave. And Jessica's, oh, I know. It's just, the thing is, I'm going to get really, really, really busy because I've been out of the game for so long. And to be honest, I'm missing out on a lot of things. And I don't know, life's about to get so busy. I'm going to be hanging out with strange ladies with pink dots on their cheeks so much more now. I don't know how I'm going to have time for the little children.
And I love how she lists all of her things that she's so busy. She's like, I've always worn so many hats, and now I feel like I've got 100 hats. I have to pick the twins' clothes. I have to pick out Parvit's clothes. I have to see if the kids are up another diaper size. I have to answer phone calls, go on Zoom calls, make sure I look amazing for the Zoom calls. It's just nonstop. It's like, you just listed literally the most basic parts of living here. And then occasionally I have to unzip my trousers to use the loo.
I have to refill the Oreo canister because I told Pava to do it once and he put in Hydrox. Can you believe it? Hydrox.
if it's warm inside, I need to find a little box on the wall where you press a couple of numbers in to change the numbers of the temperature in the room. It's just so much going on in my life.
And did you know that at a certain parts of the day, the sun actually goes down and you have to turn on lights? You have to actually go up to a switch and physically take the switch and move it to a different position so you can get light. That's just one of the many hats I wear.
And she's like, I need to get the kids more clothes. And we get as Pavitt looks at her terrified, like, more? And she's like, I'm trying to not get them too much stuff. But Pavitt, they eat like you. They shit like you. It's insane. One of them came out the other day with a little gold star. And I said, what's that for? He said, I'd like to give it to fried chicken. I mean, what are you turning these children into? Tom Cruise, you can't intervene too soon enough, Tom.
They're just like you, Pavitt. They already have such low standards for their future. I mean, we really have to turn this ship around. And Pavitt's like, well, also the other thing is we have to buy two of everything, you know? Because they're twins. And she goes, oh, I can't wait to buy girl clothes. And he goes, oh, well, that's not happening. Well, either I have a child, a girl child, or I'll just start treating my other boy like a girl too. And it'd be very progressive, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's basically like, do you know that ever since I was a kid, my lucky number has always been 3? I love the context of her lucky number. Like, did you know ever since she was little, that's like, it never changed all her life. It's always been 3, as if 3 were like an exotic number that people rarely think about.
I know, like 3 is not just a very common number that people choose. So Pavitt's like, well, ever since I've been a kid, 2 has been a great number. It's like, wow, isn't that interesting? Even as a kid, my dreams were bigger than yours. That is absolutely nuts. Meant to be together. Even your lucky number is inferior to mine, really. Wow. Value-wise, at least.
So then it cuts to Jessel with this crazy outfit in her interview where it's like these two sleeves and like one is like a big black circle and one is like a big sort of like gold circle. And
Arm looks like a gold fortune cookie and the other looks like a black band dot, like her tits hanging out. And they're trying to like ban it on cable.
It was very strange. And so Jessel's like, I am dead serious. It took me so many years, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to get those frozen embryos. And then I had to convince Pavitt that those embryos were not fried chicken. I had to just cut his little paws off them. And then I think that, you know, I think the Cassa deserves a little princess. And we're definitely going to go for it, whether he likes it or not.
She's like, my dad keeps asking me, when are you going to have a baby girl? And he's like, your parents don't even know that we did IVF. How can you be so confident we're going to have a girl? She's like, well, I have to have a talk with my mother about it. I feel very, very guilty about it. And Pavitt's like, I told you, you have to tell her. It has to be brought up now to the fact that you want another child, and also you're on TV. You told America before you told your mother. That's shame on you.
Yeah. So Jessel talks about how it was really, the IVF process was really traumatizing for her, and she just didn't want to talk about it. And Pavitt's like, but you should still tell your mom. And he's like, you know, he says he thinks it's important for her to tell her mom because, like you said, she don't want her to find out through someone else, a.k.a. TV. And Pavitt's like, I mean, we had a birthday party in London, and the entire time, the entire London family thinks these are natural humans. They don't realize that these are actual cyborgs from another planet. Pavitt, do you know how IVF works? I'm not sure you do.
They are natural, Pavitt. He's like, no, but like they think that they have like actual blood and bone running through them.
Human DNA.
Pavitt. They do, Pavitt, the actual human children. No, but like, they actually think they have brains and aren't computer chips. Pavitt!
Pavitt, they're real humans.
Go back to the hot dog stand, Pavitt. Dole out some advice nobody asked you for, all right?
So then we go to Bryn walking down the street, walks into a fancy car, like a vintage fancy car store. And
yes, this is where Dorit has been. on Beverly Hills, and it's also where Sutton has been on Beverly Hills when she bought a new car, remember, with Garcelle.
That's right.
They all like to show off these vintage places, and there's always an old man who looks like he's played by Peter O'Toole, and he's always got a big scarf every time.
Yeah, with the voice of F. Murray Abraham. And so there's like a British guy there, and Bryn walks in, and the British guy's like, "Oh, goodness gracious me." And Bryn goes, "Sorry, he knows nothing about cars. I'm the collector." And then the guy's like, "Oh, she's in trouble." I'm like, I don't know what's happening here, but I'm already not liking it.
And then we meet Gideon, the ex-fiancé. And he's very like Hugh Grant, but with alcoholism eyes. And he's like, "Oh, hello. Are you here to make trouble? It's me, Dashing Gideon." And she's like, "They marry me, drama."
Gideon and I were together for 5 years. And when he proposed, we were actually broken up for a couple of months. And I was seeing someone else. And then outside of Ritz-Carlton, they started playing like "If I Could Walk 500 Miles. And then I was like, "Oh my God, that was my song with Gideon." And then I turned around and Gideon was walking around the corner with my dog in a ring. Nothing worse than having to call my boyfriend and telling him I'm breaking up for my new fiance.
I'm like, "Wow, you both are terrible. You're both terrible people." Okay, like, you are dating someone else and he decides to essentially love bomb you with this hollow over the top gaudy gesture that's like trying to be out of Love Actually or something like that, like blasting a quote-unquote beautiful rendition of "If I Could Walk 500 Miles. I mean, I'm trying to even imagine. It's like, "La, la, 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 la." I'm like, what does that sound like?
"If I could walk 500 miles. If I could walk 500 more. If I could walk 500 more.
So, like, he's the one who does the love bombing, and she's the one who's like, "Oh, someone love bombed me, so I'm going to just drop someone else and just go back to this person." It's terrible.
It's Patti LuPone's greatest hit at the Ritz-Carlton. The one time they got Patti LuPone to do an engagement thing, and Brent fucked it up.
And how do you get a beautiful version of 500 miles to play outside the Ritz-Carlton? Do they have some sort of like sound system?
"I had to stand on a table." La 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 la. La 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 la.
When I wake up.
La 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 la.
I don't know. The whole thing seemed real fishy to me. I was like, you both are garbage right now for doing that.
I'm getting high class hooker from Bryn, and I know that she's not, because I read her LinkedIn, which doesn't mean that high class hookers can't have a LinkedIn, but
her LinkedIn.
Okay, two things. I looked at her LinkedIn, and she's marketing, general marketing. Now, I don't know what that means. She's a marketing consultant. And then they showed her, they were like, "Get to know Bryn from Real Housewives of New York." And they showed her apartment in a magazine spread, and it's real tiny, but it's exquisitely done. Like, she's got a lot of taste. She did a really cute job on this apartment. But just everything on the show, she's giving me high-class hooker. Now, I don't care about the class of a hooker. I love a hooker. Known plenty of hookers in my life. Would have been one, really, if, let's be honest, I worked out. I would have preferred that over waiting table. So I'm not shaming high class or low class hookers, but I definitely recognize the signs from other good friends of mine, like older man, lonely man, playboy, has you meet him in places like classic Rolls Royce stores, pays off bands to play songs, but never really seals the deal somehow. And it makes me sad. I know this is supposed to be like a Julia Roberts happy, like, "Oh my God, look at Julia Roberts." Well, I guess that is a hooker story. Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
So, but you know what I mean? It's like supposed to be some rom-com where I'm like, "Oh my God, I hope Bryn ends up with this guy." But there's such a sadness in his eyes that's probably mostly caused by her, let's face it, because he can't have her. And then there's just such a sadness in her eyes that, I don't know. And then there's just a sadness about the cars, because like everybody who's owned those cars is dead now.
Yeah.
No, I'm depressed. That's how I'm feeling. Thanks for asking.
I felt like there was a, yeah, I felt like that. Yeah. I can see that. Because Gideon is super cute. Gideon is super, super cute. But you can also see that, like, he's clearly still in love with Bryn. And he wants Bryn back. But you also kind of want to be like, you know, Gideon, you're really cute. You seem like you're rich. And this girl doesn't like you like that. But she only wants you for the perks of your lifestyle. So move on, Gideon. You don't have to do this to yourself.
It's hard to be rich. It's hard to be rich and gorgeous in this world. No one understands the weight of the privilege. So Peter O'Toole is like, look at my scarf. So take a look at the car. This is a 1965 Bentley. Patty, would you give me some encouragement during this number?
La 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 la. La 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 la.
1965 Bentley. Flying Spur Continental.
La 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 la.
Take a look.
With this car, you don't even have to walk 500 miles. You could just drive it. Much easier. Yeah, so
Gideon sits in it and he's on it. Oh, this has the Bentley crest, the B crest, which you love, Bryn. And she's like,
he always said I wanted a B on my car because my name is Bryn.
He's like, I need to get this trollop out of my store. So then Bryn is basically talking about Gideon, and she's like, you know, he's basically like a Prince Charming, and like, I didn't open a door for 5 years. I didn't pick up one tab. I can't even stand up at a dinner table without him jumping up. He's like a Disney prince. Half my friends and some of my family chose him. But then producer's like, so do you think he's playing a long game? She goes, I hope not.
So they're sitting in the car, and Gideon's trying to have a romance scene. He's like, fancy meeting you here. And she's like,
wasn't that the first line you used on Tinder? Tinder was in beta, and someone sent a dick pic. So I'm like going through deleting all these dick pics, and there you were. And you were like, top of the morning to you, madame. I'd love to take you out to tea. I'm rich. And I was like, okay.
So then we went out and had a date, and I like looked at pictures of like all my nudes and was like, oops, are you looking at that on my phone? What? So Gideon is like,
his story is, my recollection is, you were the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. I was like, okay, so she went out with you because you were rich. You went out with her because she was hot. I can't believe this relationship didn't have legs. It's
yeah,
crazy.
Seriously. And Bryn tells us that after she got the ring, she was walking on 57th Street and she saw her reflection in the window of what I have to imagine was like Hard Rock or Planet Hollywood, because that's really what's on 57th Street. And she's like, and it was massive. Like, it was like 4 to 5 carats. And then I realized I was going to be someone's wife, and I might be their wife until the year 2021 on Mars, because I was standing in front of Mars 2021, the restaurant. And I remember panicking, and I see myself as like little Bryn with a little afro, and I don't see myself as someone's wife, and like, I wasn't ready. So basically she is like runaway bride, commitment issues, blah, blah, blah. And so then she said that she tells Gideon that she went to her psychic. And the psychic told her that, everything's good under the hood. All systems are working under there. And that she's going to have a kid at 40 and it's going to be a boy. And, you know, Gideon's like, great. So, can we get married and I can be the father? Like, why are you telling me this right now?
And she's like, you know what? I might talk about egg freezing, but the cost of inflation, the price of eggs has really gone up. He's like, ooh, pints of milk as well, eh? And she's like, yeah, I'm going to create a family for myself. It's the only thing I want. I was like, don't lie, because then we see a picture of when she did get the engagement ring, and she's not just showing it off on Instagram. Like, oh my God, look, I got a ring. She's posing it right next to the logo of the Porsche that she's in the car of, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a Porsche and a wedding ring. She's just like, look, found a rich one. I'm going to just have to say, you might have to kind of change your priorities, you know, if you're going to find a good one. Although, yeah. Listen, I've dated plenty of poor people, and they're awful and not right for me either. So if you're going to find an awful one that's not right for you, you might as well find one with giant diamonds and a Porsche. There's another thing I'm going to rescind today. I take it back. I apologize, Bryn.
Yeah, I mean, she's basically just there to get him to pay for her, you know, egg freezing. That's, I think, what the point of the scene was. And of course, he's going to do it because he's like in love with her.
So and then she's going to try and get him to be like make them embryos. Because could you imagine? I mean, Gideon's so lonely, and then have a few embryos cooked in a different oven, and boom, you've got it for life. You've got your money deliveries. There will just be fucking Bentley helicopters flying overhead and just dropping bags of money. Oh my God, I wish can I get impregnated yet? I can, right? Men can carry now, right?
After I saw the Gideon movie Junior with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'm pretty sure that was a documentary, so I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger can get impregnated, so can I. And also, I think, oh, Jesus Christ.
Ronnie's camera just fell over.
You guys, listen. Thank God I'm in pants today. What if I was just, like, not in pants and that just happened? That was right in my wiener.
You know what? Here's what I've got to say. The real miracle of the movie Junior is not that it dared to see a world wherein a man gets pregnant. It's that someone was able to bring together Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito, and Emma Thompson. And I think that shows that miracles can happen. That Emma Thompson was like, you know, just in the middle of writing another Jane Austen movie, but you know what? Let me put a pin in that and star in a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger where he gets pregnant, and then Danny DeVito's there too.
I'm having really weird luck with this setup today. I think Emma Thompson went through a thing with the Kenneth Branagh divorce where she was like starting to worry, and then she's like, I'll do this film. I will do Junior. I never know if Kenneth Branagh will have me blacklisted from Shakespeare. Just in case.
You might not know this, but Aida Turturro was in Junior, so it really is a great cast.
Aida Turturro.
I feel like it was not too long ago we were wondering what she was up to, and it's not that this makes her up to anything, it just shows that she had been up to things.
Yeah, Aida Turturro. Well, that's good. I feel like Aida Turturro gets work every once in a while, you know?
Yeah, I feel like she does very serious plays in regional theater, you know? Yeah. It's like, there's always like, in some town, in a random part of Massachusetts, there's like a poster up with Aida Turturro looking very serious, and it's like, Ibsen's The Dollhouse, Aida Turturro.
100%. The like, Death of a Salesman, Aida Turturro.
A Long Day's Journey into Night, Aida Turturro. Aida Turturro. At the Poconos Playhouse. Oh, hi, everyone. We still have a whole hour left of this recap that we recorded, so we're splitting it in two, and the second part will be up very shortly in your feed. Catch you on the next one.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Burr. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody Holds a Candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.